What a wonderful text. It's one of my favorite. It is so filled with layers. You could preach on it for a long time. There's a lot of different positions and points that are there that are worthy of bringing to mind and to making reference to. But it seems to me that this story, at least on one side, is important because it raises that kind of eternal question that seems to come every generation. Every generation of the church. And so rather than shake our finger at Thomas, we should thank Thomas. Because by raising the question, is it really Jesus who was raised from the dead? Did it really happen? By raising that question, what we have in this text is the answer. Now, obviously, what is necessary is believing the witnesses. Because the gospel is written based on the witnesses of those who were there, who saw it. And so, obviously, it takes the trust of faith that the witnesses are speaking the truth and that we can trust them. And that's the eternal issue that this church faces always, the Christian church faces, whether the words are trustworthy. But because of the detail that you see in this text, it just seems to project the need and the call to come and believe. Because this constant use of imagery of Jesus appearing when the doors are all locked and the windows are all closed, when no one expected anything like this to happen. In fact, they're actually surprised when they see this person standing in their midst. He didn't come in the door with the rest of them. He wasn't there after they locked things up. He's come later. And it's almost as though they don't recognize him. And this is the part of the story that I love that we don't talk about enough. And this is the part that kind of seals it for the author. This says that if you're in doubt, you can't be after you hear this. And so what Jesus does is he shows them his hands and his side. He shows them what were once wounds are now but scars. We could say that Jesus, in this text, is known by his scars. It's a little bit of that that goes on in the story of the walk to Emmaus. For you remember, even there, Jesus is walking along with them. They don't have a clue who it is. Now, this is the same face. Surely it's the same voice. But something is different. Something has changed. They don't recognize him in all the conversation. He even runs through Scripture, probably using some key words and phrases that he used when he was with him, right over their heads. It isn't until the breaking of the bread, the recognition of the cross, the reminder of his scars, that Jesus is recognized. And that's what's going in our gospel lesson today. Jesus is recognized by his scars. Now, scars are unique. I don't want to get in trouble with any physicians or nurses or anything like that here, but I did do a little bit of reading, and it says that our skin fiber is actually, in normal skin, like you might find on the back of your hand, is actually crisscrossed. But scar tissue, which is still skin, is not crisscrossed. It all runs in one direction. It's changed. It's different. It's still skin, and you'll still refer to it as skin, but it has difficulty, for example, in the sun browning up. It's different. And oftentimes, hair won't grow where there's a scar. It's the same, but it's a little bit different. And those are the scars of Jesus. That's what the resurrection is all about. It's the same Jesus, but there's something different. There's something unique. Something has changed in this whole thing. One could say that you're kind of a scar as well. Never thought of it that way. You've changed. The wounds of the past have transformed you and made you different. You're not the same community you were when I came 20 months ago. You're different. Some things have changed. And that's a good thing. It may be the same congregation, but there's something about you that has changed over these 20 months. You're different. One could say, in essence, that we all carry scars, some form or another, do we not? We carry them from the effects of people on our lives. people maybe that have not always been so nice to us. People have been downright belligerent and evil to us. We carry those. And not all scars are visible. Some are emotional. Might be not just something that someone has caused. It just might be the effects of the evil of the life we live in thrust upon us, such as illness or the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child. All those are scars that we carry. They were once wounds, maybe, and maybe for some of you there are still wounds of your past that will eventually become scars. And one could say as well that oftentimes people know us by those scars. They may not know what the scars are, but they notice it in our actions, in our way of approaching others, in the words that we speak. And sometimes maybe in the stories that we recount as we try to give meaning to those scars and wounds by explaining them and reliving them with others. We are scarred people, different than we were before the wounds happened. And oftentimes when wounds occur, and even when they are scars, carried with that is still the pain, the almost sometimes the desire for repayment is there. The emotion is still connected with those scars. But I remember the words of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples and to those who wished to follow him. He always said that if you wish to follow me, then leave behind your cross and take up mine. Leave behind the weights that you carry and take up my cross. Take up my scars. Take up my wounds, because they're light and they're easy to carry. I suppose that is what we have been called to do from the very moment God received us into his community of faith. In fact, it was there in the very moment of the actions of Jesus to take up Jesus' cross, his wounds, and his scars, and let those be our talking points and our action points in this world. For in the waters of baptism, we died with Christ for a purpose. To put behind us all of those scars and wounds that we have so that we could rise with him, scarred as we might be, but committed as was Jesus. For you see, when Jesus was wounded and was killed and scarred, he doesn't come back to the world to condemn it. He doesn't come back to the world to look for revenge. But he comes back claiming his disciples, those who left him behind, those who ran away from him in his time of need, leaving yet other wounds and other scars. No, he comes back to the world that God has loved. He comes back to the wound, back to the world that his wounds and his scars were made for, so that the world might know that God came and sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world might know the extent of God's love and the extent of God's commitment to reach out always to the very ones who caused his wounds and his scars. It's the source and purpose of everything we do, everything we say as a community of faith. To take up the cross of Christ is to say that his wounds and his scars are the source of our actions and the purpose and source of our words. So if there is one point, one clear message I wish you to learn and to remember, I leave with you now. Always ask the question, how do my actions and how do my words, in each thing I am about to say, in each thing in which I'm about to do, how do they reflect and proclaim the wounds and scars of Jesus, the cross of Christ, for a church that focuses uniquely on that event and the scars of that one man shall always find peace and courage and the source of their witness. Amen.